Today on the show, the hilarious, vibrant, gender-challenging star, Bretman Rock. This conversation is full of synergy as we have so many shared experiences, especially when it comes to spirituality. This is 4D with Demi Lovato.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, you like my shirt?
I'm dead. I'm gagging.
Thank you.
Oh my
you look
God.
So cute.
Thank you. So do you. You always look so stunning.
I know, right?
Yes. Well, hi.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Oh my God, this is so cool. Hi, Demi.
Hi, I am so excited to talk to you because not only am I just a fan, I'm a fan of what you put out. The content that you make, your style, your confidence, just everything about you. And I want to give you the opportunity to introduce yourself in whatever way you identify and just what you want people to know about you.
All right. Hello, everybody. My name is Bretman Rock. I'm a singer, songwriter, actor, actress, athlete, activist, scientist on the motherfucking side. I do a lot of things, but if you want to find out more about me, everything that you need to know is at Bretman Rock. I am also a non-binary like Demi Lovato is, but I also go by all pronouns because I do know that I look like both. I do look like both, like a man and a woman sometimes. So you guys can call me by whatever you see me as, but I am non-binary. You can use they, them as well.
Yes.
And I'm so fucking nervous right now because I'm talking to Ms. Demi Lovato.
Oh my God, so you're so cute. Don't be nervous at all. By the way, I just wanted to tell you that I've been wanting to meet you for so long because I know that we have some mutual friends and they just speak so highly of you. And I also recently, I watched your show.
Yes. Oh my God, no, you did it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I watched it and you know what was so fascinating to me is at first I was like, oh, this is going to be like the simple life. Like this is going to be Paris and Nicole in the jungle. This is going to be hilarious. And then you took us on like an emotional and spiritual journey and there was a depth to you that I don't think that, you know, just scrolling through your Instagram that I would have seen. And mm-hmm. I was really, not only was I really appreciative of it, but I was like, I want to get to know that Bretman Rock because there's so much substance and depth there that was so appealing and so fascinating to me. What was that journey like for you in Hawaii?
To be honest, I'm kind of on the same boat as you. Like, I remembered like going into the filming and like my first like meetings with them, I was like, ready to kind of pull a, like, a Nicole Richie and Paris Hilton moment, like, complain every second. And then you know what I mean? And, like, not yes. want to do anything. But when I got there, I was like, sis, this is literally your dream. Like, these are things that you used to dream about when you were a kid. Like, I've always wanted my own, like, kind of, like, reality show. People ask me, like, when did you know, like, when were you, like, a reality TV star? And I'm like, girl, it was not since my MTV show. I've been a reality star since I was 8 years old. I
yes.
remember when the first time I moved to America, I went to Walmart. And you know how they have, like, cameras pointed at you
yes.
when you enter? And yes. you see yourself on TV. And I swear to God, I was on Big Brother that whole motherfucking time I was at Walmart. Like, I had my own confession. Like, I be having my own confessionals at Walmart. Like, these cabbages are looking at me fucking funny. You know what I mean? Like, so I've always lived my delusional fantasy of, like, reality TV. And so, honestly, when I got into the jungle, I was like, they want reality. We got to give them reality. Like, I love right. the jungle. I'm not going to pretend, like, I hate the jungle. Because I love nature. I grew up surrounded by, like, rice fields my whole life. I grew up, like, eating bugs and, like, really, all I know where to play is, like, the jungle. Like, we would play, like, house, which translates to, like, bahay, bahay. And so I was just like really channeling like my childhood stuff when I was filming that. Like, this is your dream. You're literally being filmed like in the jungle. Like, you gotta give them what they want, you know? I feel like I'm talking forever, but yeah, no, it was such a spiritual awakening for me. And to be honest, I really connected more with my grandma, who really taught me everything that I know about energy and spirituality. And that woman is really the reason why I identify as non-binary today. Because the way she would always introduce me to people, she would be like, this is my son. He's handsome and pretty. And like, she always reminded me that I could be both. And like, she put me in my first like drag makeup. And where did we go? Motherfucking church. So I went to church with like a glam makeup. And like, I just felt like I was the baddest bitch there. I was cuter than all of the angel statues. Yes, I said it. And like, I remember like one time when we were at church, like all of these memories were just coming to me when I was in jungle. I remember just like one time when we were in church, I don't even know what the fuck the priest was talking about. But my grandma turns to me and she's like, sometimes the priest is wrong. And I'm like, bitch, I'm not even listening. So
yeah. Wow. That was really profound. For her to say that. I have a huge, huge, huge connection to my great-grandmother. My great-grandmother was more in my life when I was younger. And so I have her tatted on my arm.
Oh, right, my here. God. Is this a Leo thing? Because I have my grandma, like something for my grandma's on my arm too. And oh, I have God. A Leo. And I have a Leo.
Oh, my God.
I'm telling.
For those that are listening, for those that are listening, we both have lions like on our hands.
And on the same hand, we have something for our grandma.
Wow. Oh, my God. That's so incredible. That's so sick. I love that. I really believe that we have a lot more in common than I would have realized. Just like if I were to DM you on Instagram and be like, hey, I think you're dope, which I think I've done. But
I also read one of your comments where you were like, my friend and I want your kids. And I'm like, Demi, I don't know what to reply to this. So I'm just going to like it.
Okay. No, so me and one of my really, really good friends, Bianca, we're just like obsessed with you. Everything that you do, everything you post, will like send pictures of you to each other and be like, did you see this? This was one, fucking hilarious. Two, wow, this is so fabulous. Three, let's be friends with them. And so I don't really want kids anymore, but you're a beautiful person. And that was my way of telling you.
Thank you. I love that.
So wait. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in the Philippines and then I moved in Hawaii when I was 8 years old. And so I just grew up in like a very islandy type of lifestyle, very simple and slow lifestyle. And I grew up in like such a beautiful state where like literally our fucking license plate is a fucking rainbow, girl. This state is like, I just grew up very accepted and like, with my family and like my peers growing up, like I never felt like I was different or anything because, right. Like especially in my culture, like the word bakla, which is gay, it's we never see gay people as like a sin, mm-hmm. And even in Hawaiian culture, their word for gay is mahu, and they've always seen them as like healers and the third gender because they embodied both genders, and I was always taught that being gay is or different, really, and queer is beautiful. And it's something that I don't want to say worshipped, but it's something that should be like not even accepted, but it's something that should just be
revered.
Normal. Yes.
And I've learned actually a little bit about that. I know that growing up in the Philippines and the Native Hawaiians, they believe in their culture, they both believe in two-spirit.
Yes.
I'm a firm believer in we are all one, including the plants, including the animals. Every yes. being in this universe is one. And we bring different things to the table with our individualities. But, you know, I grew up in Texas. There wasn't, and kind of in the suburbs of Texas, there wasn't really any nature around except for like cornfields. But other than that, it was like there wasn't any talk, unfortunately, where I came from about gay people other than it was a sin, and it wasn't right. something that was revered until I actually got into beauty pageants and the show business. And my mom was the one that taught me, like, there's to revere gay people and to really respect their opinion because they are more honest than anybody.
Period.
So yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
That was beautiful.
I also think that, like, sometimes people, when they ask me about being non-binary, I tell them there's a spiritual aspect to it that people don't always understand because we're so forced and programmed to look at somebody and identify them as what we see. We have both masculine and feminine energy inside
of us. Everybody.
Everybody.
Everyone.
And I just, like, personally believe that when I came to a sense of feeling spiritually balanced and my divine feminine and my masculine side, that's when I was like, yeah, I'm non-binary. Because to me, it's a spiritual thing. It's not even necessarily a gender thing. Yeah.
I'm obsessed with you. I feel that. I really genuinely feel that because I feel like I am non-binary, not because of the gender thing. I'm non-binary because my spirit and my soul is just two different. I have two souls in me and they're a man and a woman and I feed both of them equally. Like sometimes like my masculine side comes over me more and I go to the gym and sometimes my feminine side comes over me and I'm like full face of makeup, but ultimately they both live in me, you know?
Yes. Yes, totally. Speaking of your masculine side, I found out something very interesting about you, that your name Rock came from The Rock. Can you explain a little bit more about that?
I grew up with parents who loved sports, both my mom and dad. That's actually how they met. My mom was like a volleyball player, and I believe my dad was like pool, like billiards and basketball, but they met through sports. And my dad was always obsessed with wrestling, and I was named after Bret the Hitman Hart, Bret Hart, and The Rock, and those were his two favorite like wrestlers. And I had recently found out like a week ago that Bret Hart and The Rock were actually like super close because of an interview with The Rock that he did, and I was like, wow, that's so crazy that like I was named after two people that were like best friends, and my dad just like happened to like love them.
So in what ways do you think that you challenge that hyper-masculine name, like The Rock? Because when I think of The Rock, I think of, not only do I think of a super sweet guy, he's so nice, but, but I think of, you know, he's always in the gym posting workout videos. I feel like that's where I've maybe met him before, is actually at the gym. Like,
that's the only way where you meet him,
exactly.
Is at the gym.
So in what ways do you challenge that hyper-masculine part of your name?
Well, Brett, oh my God. First of all, what kind of mother carries a child for 9 months, looks at him, and he looks like a Bretman Rock girl? Anyways, that's a different story for my mom. But I'm like, do I look like a fucking Bretman Rock to you? I feel like I look like a Josh.
Oh my God, I can see Josh.
Right? Like what?
Or like a Xander. Hot.
Yeah, but also I feel like something, I also have to mention this before I answer your question, like something people always ask me is like, did you come up with Bretman Rock? I'm like, bitch, if I came up with my name, it would not be Bretman Rock. It'd be something.
Right.
It'd be Bret Woman at least, but not Bretman Rock, girl. Yeah. Come on. But for me, because I grew up doing sports as well, I was in track. And so with my name being Bretman Rock, like you would think like, you know, like, they say your name before you run and like, you're waving and I'm always like, eh. But it's so cool because like the teleprompters are like Bretman Rock. And he says it's so like masculine, I guess, and rough. And I'm like waving my hand like, hey.
Oh my God, I'm obsessed.
But I guess the way that I challenged it is by, like, I would literally go to my track meets. I did hurdles in high school. I would literally go to track meets with a white crop top and, like, my nipples all pierced with full face of makeup. And I'm a walking fucking statement. Like, I have the coolest name here, but I'm in a full face of makeup and I'm faster than most of y'all. So
yes.
How did I challenge it? I just challenged it by not giving a fuck.
Oh, yeah. How old were you when you were doing that?
I started track when I was like in fifth grade, but that I wasn't wearing makeup until high school, which is 15, 16.
But also, do you realize how fucking brave that is? Like, I just want to give you kudos for owning your truth and stepping out onto a sports field where people can be so judgmental. I mean, competitiveness will make you judgmental whether you want to be or not. You look at that person, you're like, yeah, I'm going to beat them. No, I'm not going to beat them. They're way faster. You know, but you stepped out there owning your truth. And that's what makes me want to be friends with you. Personally, I didn't have the balls to do that at 16.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I really didn't have the courage until much later in life. And so anytime I'm able to see younger people really embrace themselves, it's just like, it fills a warm spot in my heart that's like, oh, the work that we do is changing things. And it's making it more possible for people like you, you know, yourself to step on a track field wearing full makeup and own themselves. I think it's amazing.
That's so crazy that you said that, because definitely like when I was 16, I was also making videos already at this time. And when I was 16, I really didn't think about it to be honest. Like, I didn't think I was like making a statement or really doing any type of like movement until now that I'm 23, I'm seeing the kids that watched me grow up, like kind of like embody Bretman Rock on themselves. They're at their track meets with full face of makeups and crop tops. They're making beauty videos. And you know, when I was like 15, 16, the word influencer and seeing men in makeup was like, wasn't even a thing. Like I couldn't even complain about algorithm because the word algorithm wasn't even a fucking thing yet.
Like what's an algorithm?
Exactly. That wasn't even a thing. Like I was literally filing my taxes, not knowing what to put as my job. I literally put like online entertainer, like, you know what I mean? So I've been doing this since I was like 16, and it is so beautiful to see what my 16-year-old self did for like,
yes,
the kids that were watching me. And I'm just like, yes, whoa.
And what's even cooler is those videos are still out there.
I know.
And so people, if they want to see your younger self being able to do that, they can. They can go find it. And I think that's so, so beautiful. You gave me full body chills when you said that. So fucking good on you.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you. It's hard to like wrap your mind around stuff like that, huh?
Right.
It's because you don't think about it. Like, I'm just being me. But to other people, they see it as like, wow, like he's doing it. Like, I can. I never thought about it like that.
Totally. What would you say to people who want to continue in the binary of what is male, what is queer? Like, what would you say to those people who still want to put you in a box?
I would say gender is an idea, and it is not a motherfucking good idea.
Thank you.
I always say you can just call me by what you see. If you see a man, he. If you see a sheep, she. If you're confused, they, them. You know what I mean? Yeah. I just don't want to give he and she any type of power over me. Like, that's for me. Like, it's not because I don't give a fuck. It's just because I don't give it power. Like, I just...
There it is. That's what it is.
Call me by what you see.
Oh my God, you just blew my mind.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
Where do you get your fashion influences from or inspiration? Like, because you are serving looks.
I love this question because my dad, if you had just met my dad, you would have thought like, oh my God, he's gay. But he wasn't. I had a very metrosexual dad. He had the longest hair, which is probably the reason why I'm growing out my hair today. Like, his hair was literally touching his asshole. He had the most beautiful hair. He had an array of skincare, like more skincare than my mom did. And so my fashion sense is honestly comes from like my dad being so comfortable in his own skin as well. Like he was just this very masculine bro, but also like didn't give a fuck if he was wearing like my mom's like floral shirts all the time.
Right.
Like that's what I grew up in. And he also introduced me. He was also like a rock star. He thought he was a fucking rock star growing up. And so we just had so many pirated Queen DVDs of just like Freddie Mercury like singing and like probably every fucking stop concert. I don't know how he got all those DVDs, but we would just watch them. And that's all I could watch because where I grew up, it was always brownout, which is, I don't know why in America it's called blackout, but in the Philippines it's called brownout. We didn't have that much electricity, but when we did, the electricity that would work were like our DVD players. So that's where we could only play stuff. And so I just grew up watching so many like music videos from Queens and Kiss and Prince even. Mm-hmm. And so just, you know, they were music videos. And so I saw what they were wearing and I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And like those were like 70s, 80s icons, you know, and they were wearing like women's clothes, makeup.
Yeah.
And I was like, what happened in the 30 years? Because that was like celebrated in the 70s. Yes. And like, and then like now in like the 2000s, like, why can't I do that? Like, what happened in our society, you know? And so I guess my fashion sense really just comes from like all of like these people that I watched like growing up who were just like me, like that wore women's clothes. And like at the time, like I was a kid, so I didn't know if they were gay or not. So,
yeah.
But I just knew they were wearing women's clothes because I know women's clothes when I see one. So yeah, I think a lot of my influences is with my style today is what I saw growing up and what my dad fed me growing up.
Oh, wow. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
I have a special spot in my heart for my dad too, because my dad also thought he didn't think he was a rock star, but he thought he was a race car driver. And so
delusions.
Literally. And so I have a number three tattoo right here. Some people don't know, but it's actually breaking news. It's a NASCAR tattoo. My dad was obsessed with Dale Earnhardt. And so yeah, that was our number. So when he passed away, I got a number three tattooed on my arm.
But, I love that. Yeah. I have a tattoo of my dad too. Let me show you.
Yes.
It's his signature right here. It's like that little red one next to my grandma.
We have a lot in common.
In common. I think it's the Leo energy.
Yeah.
It's the Leo energy.
I also believe that our protective figures are with us at all times.
Guardian angels. Oh, yes. There's times where I feel like I genuinely see people as guardian angels.
That's how I feel too.
Don't you feel like sometimes you meet people with no soul?
Sometimes I think that I meet people who are so empty because they're so confused on who they're supposed to be. And I think I actually was one of those people for many years. And like I presented to have my shit together. I presented to the world that I was vulnerable and caring, but in my personal life, I had like cinder block walls built around me and anyone who tried to get close to me. And I still work to this day to try to not be that person and to continue to wear my heart on my sleeve. But yes, I totally get that. I feel like sometimes people have no souls, but it's coming from within.
Or like maybe like a chakra is blocked maybe. Sometimes it's not necessarily like a soul, but sometimes you just genuinely feel like someone is not, their soul is not present, or like it's hard to connect to people, or like even, and you can really see it in people's eyes. You know what I mean?
Eyes are the windows of the soul. Yeah.
Yes. You know, and I feel like only spiritual beings could really understand what we're talking about right
now.
So
yes.
I'm sorry.
No.
So I'm sorry if y'all have no idea what we're talking about, but
it's just you.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. If you can't understand, it's you.
It's you.
I'm totally kidding. I love meditating, and I have a sound bowl situation. So I just go outside and I have a copper pyramid that I meditate under, yes, like all these crystals, and I, yes, tone my chakras, as you know, a couple times a week, several times a week, whatever I can do. Are there any practices that you practice, mm-hmm, too? And I'd love to hear about them.
Yes. So my grandma, translate it into English, but she was basically an albolario, which kind of translate into like a witch doctor. She worked a lot, ooh, with herbs, and she was a light worker. And a healer. And growing up, I would only see her work with the sun. And so whenever she would put things out in the garden to dry, she did not let the moon dry out anything.
Wow.
So watching that, I kind of just took that from her. And this woman literally wakes up so early in the morning to catch the earliest morning sun, because we believe that it is the purest form of light. So cut to the chase, I do a lot of like light therapy work where I wake up early in the morning, I catch the earliest sunrise, and I just, no phones. Sometimes I have crystals with me, but I just stare into the light with my eyes closed. And at first, like 5 minutes, it's like super bright, but you get to a meditative state where like your vision is just black. And that is when I know I'm in my meditative state. And that's when I meditate and really try and talk to my higher self and my higher being, or really just think of where I want to go in life, where I've been, and really reflect. So that's one of my ways of like manifesting, yeah, but also meditating. Mm-hmm. But something that I've been practicing as well, which I don't recommend you guys doing in the wilderness, get your own rocks. But I do like rock balancing meditation. I'm sure you've seen like a lot like those like figures where like they balance like rocks on, yeah, top of each other. So that's actually a form of meditation where people just take like rocks varying in sizes, and they stack them, and like, because you are so focused on where the energy is on the rocks and which side is heavier, you're like kind of just meditating, like stacking, wow, the rocks on top of each other, and like really finding that center of gravity. And so that is something that I am trying to teach myself to do, because I don't know, I just thought it was funny to, yeah, learn how to rock meditate with my name being Bremen Rock. But yeah, don't go out in the jungle doing it, because sometimes I did do a research that it does cause erosions. I have my own rocks,
wow,
so I do it.
That's so, yeah, interesting. I have a question. Have you ever tried Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu?
I haven't.
What you were saying about the rocks is, when what I heard was you were focusing on the leverage. And the thing about Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is it's all about leverage. So it's not even about like physical muscle strength. Like, I'm sure if somebody really, really strong muscle to move, then they could get to you. But if you are, what's really nice about me being female assigned at birth and being 5'3", like I'm not the toughest person in the world. So like if I were to throw a punch at somebody trying to rob me on the street, there's only a certain percentage of a chance that it would knock them out. But if I, right, were to use defense techniques using jiu-jitsu, I could use my hips in a way to leverage them and launch them over my shoulder, no matter how big they are, because it's all about technique and leverage. And I think it's so important for specifically female assigned at birth people to know that, just because of what all women have to deal with and, you know, with violence and things like that. But I think it could be, you're talking about it from balancing rocks as a form of meditation. I think that Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu for me has been life-saving. And also, I'm not one, like, I know you love posting your workout videos, and I watch them and I envy how much fun you're having. Because I'm like, that is just not me. But Jiu-Jitsu, I could do for hours.
This is new to me. I didn't know you do Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. What the heck?
I really actually think you would love it.
I need to do it.
Yeah. So
this is my sign. This is my sign.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the universe being like, hey. And I have nipple piercings too. If you just wear a bra or something to cover them up, you'll be fine.
Or nothing. I want to see it. Oh my gosh. Also, I also want to speak really quickly about something that you said that was very important, that I think it's so crazy to me that women has to do these things. There's these tank tops, they're white and they're called wife beaters, and gearing into fashion. I really want to reclaim that wife beater tank top, because I don't know why a tank top or like a clothing is so normalized like that. And I want to make my own like tank tops and call it like wife protectors, because we shouldn't be beating up our wives, you know? We should be protecting them. And so that's what I want to do in fashion is like, yes, it's fucking non-binary. It's always been. But at the same time, like there's these like fashion terms that I'm just like, I don't agree with. Like, why is it so normal to call white tank tops wife beaters? Like,
yeah.
No.
What happened to white tank top with the influence that you have and the platform you have? Like, you're on the course to make a huge difference. And I'm so honored and so happy to have had you on this podcast to be able to talk about all of this, because I just think that you bring such a positive energy, but also like that's a little gem that I'm going to use from now on. And when people ask me about it, I'm going to say Brett Mimrock taught me that.
Demi, I am so glad I met this Demi.
Yes, me too.
You know?
Me too. I feel like if we had connected when I wanted to first connect with you, I just wouldn't have had this same spiritual connection. So the universe brings people together when they're
right. Is spirituality like something you're new to?
Well,
I feel like I've always thought like you were kind of like a spiritual being. I don't know why I thought that, but I always thought you were like a spiritual being.
Because you're intuitive, boo. You're intuitive,
yeah.
And you know viscerally, you can tell. I wasn't I grew up religious. And hence the cross on my hand. I grew up religious. I grew up as a Christian. And then as I got older and, you know, I went through different experiences in life. I had a near-death experience and things started to really change and shift for me because I realized that a lot of the beliefs that were forced onto me as a kid growing up in the South were actually more harmful to me as an adult, and I needed to separate myself and find my own identity. So I started my spiritual journey in quarantine. That's when it really started to begin for me. And I'm so grateful that I had the downtime to be able to start that.
Wow.
I
had to kind of hide my crystals on the back of my neck today because I didn't know how spiritual you were.
Oh my gosh, honey.
But I have like my stuff over here. I have my citrine and my mold vibe. But something I never took off since I was in high school and that it just gave me so much abundance is, oh my God, ow. Okay, no free feet photos, but I have like this jade in here that stayed with me. It's never left my ankle since I started social media. And like ever since I had it, like financial wise and even like following wise, like every year it would like increase and like double. And like I always just like I just let the crystal take all the credit, to be honest.
Oh yeah. Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah. If it you know, people are always like, it's a rock, it doesn't have energy. But even if it's just a reminder for me to stay grounded, then yes, so be it.
Yes, absolutely.
So be it. You know what I mean? Like, if you don't think there's energy in it, then to me, it's just a reminder that, you know,
yes,
I came from fucking nothing.
Yes.
Period.
And if you happen to lose it for some reason, just know, because I recently lost one of my favorite crystals. And when I went back
you
to
didn't lose it. You did not lose it.
Okay, exactly. That's what I said. I was like, I didn't lose it. It just needed to be in a different spot for someone else. Mm-hmm. And who, wherever it is now, that person needs it more, or that room or that place. That energy needs it more. So I named this podcast 4D with Demi Lovato. To me, you know, living in the third dimension is the dimension that we're in now. And I think that if we were to take it a step beyond that, what would that look like? And I fully believe that it is the dissolving of all boundaries between human connections, living our most authentic truth, and just striving to be better people on this planet so that you know, if we ever come into contact with beings from other places, we're not so different.
That was so beautiful. Because when you said that, it made me kind of think, like, that sounds like my third dimension right now. I feel like Hawaii, in this island that I live in, like, it's such a melting pot of different types of cultures and people. And, like, so I feel like I've always been immersed into, like, a multicultural place. But on the same breath, like, I know the world isn't. So with that being said, I just feel like there's something to be learned about the term non-binary. And to live in the fourth dimension, I feel like we have to unlearn and erase a lot of things that we know today. And for one of those things, we could start with gender. And if we just see people as energies and as divine creatures, as my grandma would say, and as it's so weird because that girl on TikTok also refers to people as divine creatures, as my grandma did. But if we just see people as divine creatures and energies and not by fucking vaginas and dicks, that is my fourth dimension to me. It's just really erasing gender and like fuck everything that has to do with it. Like, literally, fourth dimension is really, the word is progressive.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a progressive world. Yes. That's what I would say. I want kids. It's a world where kids go to a toy store and there's no boy toys and girl toys. There's just toys. It's a world where I can go to the store and the clothes are not separated by men and women.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So that's what fourth dimension is to me.
I'm so obsessed with you. I just didn't think it would be more possible to fall more in love with you on my podcast than I already did.
Thank you.
Of course. Thank you for doing this. I'm looking forward to getting in touch and talking more spiritual stuff and also just memes. I love sending memes.
I love you so much,
love
Debbie.
You
and
too.
I really, really want to emphasize what I meant earlier when I said it's so nice to meet this Demi. Because I feel like everybody has an idea of who you are and who you should be. But I just don't think who you are online is all that you are. And I'm so glad I met like this Demi.
Oh my God. I feel the exact same way about you. And I love you too. Thank you, Bretman.
Thank you. Aloha.
Aloha.
Please.
Yes. Bye, boo.
Bye-bye.
This has been a presentation of OBB Sound, SB Projects, and Cadence 13. 4D with Demi Lovato is hosted and executive produced by me, Demi Lovato. Executive produced by Michael D. Ratner, Scott Ratner, Elias Tanner, Scooter Braun, Scott Manson, James Shen, Jen McDaniels, Scott Marcus, Chris Corcoran. Produced by Grace Delia. Associate produced by Caitlin Plummer. Chloe Borenstein-Lowy. Edited by S.R. Meredith. Danielle Billiou. Ryan Dayhoff. Mixed and mastered by Chris Basil. Production support from Arlen Konopacki, Kia Rigabi, Paige Himson, Sean Cherry, Serena Reagan. Cadence 13 is an Odyssey company. This has been a presentation of OBB Sound, SB Projects, and Cadence 13. Please listen, rate, review, and follow all episodes available now on Apple Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.